When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying, and the Judeans who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Judeans said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. My preaching professor just had a few rules that he instilled in us when we were in the class. One of them was, don't ask a question during a sermon that you can't answer. So I have to say from the very beginning, Dr. Satterley, if you see this video, I apologize. There is a question that has been bothering me in this text. Why did Jesus cry? In the gospel, why did Jesus cry? There are very few surprises in the Gospel of John, if we read it from chapter 1 to chapter 21. Part of that is because we are 21st century Christians. It's fair to say the book has been read more than once, at least at this point. It's fair to say that if we have even never been in this house of worship before, or any house of worship, stories of Jesus still float across our culture. We are not necessarily a Christian society. That's not necessarily an accurate argument that some folks make, but Jesus is a prominent folklore hero, which means that his stories exist. People tell his stories. It's fair to say from these stories that Jesus is a child of God, that he's fully in tune with God, that he's fully capable of doing what God can do. He is a leader. He's a demon silencer. He is the living promise of God's reign. So if he can do anything, or perceptively anything, then nearly everything that he does in the Gospels is borderline predictable. Plus, there's the fact that John's book is the fourth in the series. His book is the last of the trilogy. When he turned to the other three and said, "You haven't finished the story yet." But then, of course, as we read Gospel of John, he says in chapter 21, "I have more stories that I can't write down," which means there was another book coming, but it never made it to print. John lays it out from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word, God's Word, is the source of all things. And that Word, God's Word, full of grace and truth, is God's Son. We can presume, often we do when we talk about God, that Jesus is God, which means Jesus knows and Jesus sees, and Jesus is always going to be 3 steps, or maybe it's 3 days ahead of us. He's moving, as he knows, towards the cross. He knows the grave. He knows of suffering we will endure, the suffering we will render upon others, and he knows Easter is only a daybreak away. He knows this even while he's standing outside of Lazarus' tomb. Jesus knows the promise of Easter is for Lazarus as much as it is for Mary, for Martha, for you, for me, for our dearly departed. Now, we can argue that the other Gospels write with a little bit more suspense in their narrative, but in John, he leaves no surprises. There's only hope. There's only light. There's only love breaking into the world, infusing the world, claiming the world that God has made. Jesus is standing surrounded by friends and loved ones. He's mourning the death of Lazarus. And we can almost project into the scene that Jesus should have a smile on his face. Because we're about to see something. We're about to see a glimpse of Easter. We're about to experience a foretaste of the feast that's been laid out for all of us, except in John's Gospel, Jesus weeps. Jesus, Son of God, Word of God, Light of the world, Bread of life, Good Shepherd, the way, the truth, the life, Jesus cries. Why does Jesus cry? Obviously, we cannot psychoanalyze Jesus. We can barely even figure ourselves out. Yet on the brink of revelation and resurrection, Jesus is seen weeping. Now, I suppose one reason is probably the first reason that all of us think of. It's sadness. It's not too hard to gather that Lazarus and Mary and Martha are friends, close friends. If we were to rewind back to verse 11, same chapter, Jesus tells his disciples they're going to see their friend Lazarus. Rewind back a little bit further to verse 5. John tells us that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The death of Lazarus is loss. It's created a void. The way death always carves a hole in our lives, that empty space in our thoughts, Jesus is feeling that silence where his friend's voice should be ringing out with laughter. He is wrapped in the haze and shrouds of memories that float in and out, the same ones that come in and out of our thoughts in the middle of the day or maybe in the solitude of night. It may not matter that Lazarus will soon be here. Right now, he's not here. And that gap is enough. I suppose Jesus could be crying because he loves Mary and Martha. How many times we've gone to a funeral or a graveside service, we may not have known the person themselves who had died, but we know their loved one. We know their spouse. We know the sibling. We know this fellow worshiper. Assuming that we do, that Jesus knew that the next paragraph of the story is coming, still, he's standing with his people, and Mary and Martha are hurting. They're torn with grief. They even know that the resurrection is kind of our relationship with God. Martha says that in verse 24. The resurrection will come one day, she says. But again, Lazarus isn't here. They can't take that step. They can't quite trust that this will happen, so Jesus stays with them, and he loves them. Which raises the possibility that Jesus might be weeping out of anger at death. That death is even a part of life, that death is able to hold us sway over our humanity and all of creation, that all of our hopes and our loves and our aspirations can be silenced with a silent breath. Death leads us to fear. Death compels us to turn inward. Death drives us into medications and self-medicating and worry and dread and the terror of loss. Death cuts us off, cuts us out of relationship. There's no stopping it, and it is frustrating. It is infuriating that we have to deal with death. It's disappointing. Death steals hope. Even when we stand in the midst of hope, like spaces like this, even when we hear Jesus proclaim, again, the promise of death cannot separate us. It sounds great. But we still keep going to funerals. We still keep losing our loved ones. Lazarus is still in the grave. He's still in the cemetery, far away from the crowd when Jesus gets there. We still have our candles and our prayers. We still have our loss and our hope that Jesus knows. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Maybe that's the source of the tears. Jesus knows. Maybe his tears are not anger or fear or sadness. Could they be joy? Could it be that as he's standing with his loved ones who cannot see Easter, the way that you and I cannot see Easter, that he knows that we are about to get a glimpse of the majesty of God's love that can overcome death and bring us into life? Jesus is standing with Mary and Martha in the gathered masses. They're mourning their beloved. Jesus stands with us in spaces like this and at gravesides and in long processions and quiet funeral parlors, you know, in those awkward minutes before the visitation begins. Or in the silent hours when everybody's gone home and left their food and we're by ourselves between sunset and sunrise. Jesus stands with us. Jesus dwells with us. He may know that the resurrection is coming. He may see Easter in his eyes, and yet he knows us. He knows you. He knows we can't see it. We can't easily hear the chimes and the horns declaring that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus knows no matter our faith and our knowledge of Scripture, the depth of our prayers, we can't get to Easter without Him. So Jesus, Son of God, Word of God, Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, the way, the truth, the life, Jesus stays with us, walks with us, dwells where we dwell. He meets us where we are. He leads us toward Easter morning, knowing that we will have many Easters, and we will have many Easter vigil nights. We will cry in sorrow. We will cry tears of laughter for our loved ones. We will get furious at death, at cancer, at mental illness, at addiction, at drunk drivers, at genetic disorders, at doctors, at God. We will celebrate. We will give thanks. We will do all of this in a matter of moments and days. And there will be days when we will smile because we know Easter is near. Because Jesus takes on our flesh and carries our lives and dwells where we dwell and confronts death's place in our lives, and Jesus sets us free. Jesus not only stays where we are, He goes ahead of us into the tomb to make sure it stays empty. That the separation we feel, which is as real as our tears, it won't remain. Death cannot hold us. Death cannot have us. Death will not separate us from God's love for us and our love for each other. This love compels Jesus to stand with His friends, cry through His tears, and proclaim an end to death's reign. Knowing that Lazarus is on his way out, knowing that God defies every power and force and expectation of this world, knowing that we are all surrounded in and bound together by the marks of death and the glory of Easter, and we are filled with hope, and Jesus dwells with us as we stand in the presence of God. Amen.